James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I want to make two announcements. I wasn't planning on talking about that hymn, but it was too good not to. A couple announcements. First, let us be in prayer for our brother Jerry Kistler's daughter. Jerry Kistler is the pastor right across the street from us. His daughter Elizabeth, we prayed for her last week. She's been in and out of the hospital. To be honest with you, it's just slipping what is wrong with her, but it's serious. So let's pray for them, okay? And also, I want to give a praise to, we'll pray for Elizabeth. I'll pray after I read God's word. But I want to give an update real quick. Colorado West, a little less than a year ago, some change happened. We know that Tim Dieter is coming in December, but we also know that when that change happened, it was revealed that Colorado West was about $75,000 in debt. I didn't like saying that to the congregation because that's not what's nice, but I don't mind saying this part, that because of God's amazing grace, and he used his servants and Debbie Peterson, the school board, and others, but because of God's grace, we are down to $6,000 in debt. And just to make you just aware what that really means, that's not counting the $5,000 that we give each year as a church. So we're down to like $1,100 in debt. Praise be to God. And what that means is not just that we're almost debt free, but what that means is this ministry of ours, Colorado West, the sky's the limit now. We have no financial debt holding us down. Well, okay, yeah, we do, you legalists. But we'll be clear of that, Lord willing. But man, what we can do with the school now with that debt gone. So praise the Lord. And if you've given, I don't know who has. Only Jody does, I guess, and she keeps that secret. But if you've given, whether it's maybe your time or financially to that ministry, thank you very much. It's been a rough year with this ministry. I'm just going to be blunt, but it's now a great future because of that. So thank you and praise be to God. Now, I would say enough with me talking, but I'm about to preach. Let's turn to James 5, verse 12. Let's get to God's word. James 5, verse 12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are an amazing God. And you are so beautiful and your grace is so amazing. And Father, as we look at this section of your word in James 5, verse 12, we ask for your spirit to illuminate this text to us. Help us understand it, but change us. Show us our sin. Show us our need for Jesus and your grace. And then clothe us in righteousness. Make us more holy. And if we are here this morning and we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, use this text to bring us to faith in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I grew up in a neighborhood with a bunch of kids, it was amazing. We had kids of various ages, but we would play games all summer long. We'd play wiffle ball, right? We'd play kick the can. We'd play manhunt. You probably had games similar, but that's what we called it. We also had a woods behind our house that we would play in as well. We'd play capture the flag. We'd be playing politically incorrect, but war, you know, with our toy guns. And we'd go on swamp walks, even though technically there's no swamps in Pennsylvania. But we would go on swamp walks. It was just awesome. And then there was a bunch of kids there. And I remember when I was in junior high, probably around sixth grade, I remember we all made plans. Okay, well, you know, we'll come get you, Jeremy, at this time, and we'll go play this game, whatever it was. And so that time came. I think it was in the night, and that time at night came. But no one came to get me. And, you know, at first I thought, well, it's okay. Maybe plans were canceled because parents, you would agree with this, that sometimes kids' plans are different than the parents' plans, right? But then I heard the commotion of fun outside my house, and I realized that they didn't, you know, cancel the night. They never kept their word, and they never came and got me. And I've never fully emotionally recovered from that moment. No, I could care less. Probably didn't care. I probably cared then. But that's an example of someone not keeping their word. Right? And if I'm honest with you this morning, which I will be, I've done that to someone else. The specifics were different. but I didn't keep my word to someone else. I said something, but then I didn't follow through and do it. And if you're honest this morning, again, this is James, a lot of honesty, you've probably done it too. So we're talking about this morning keeping our word. That's what James is focusing on. So let's look again at verse 12, just one verse this morning, same length of sermon, so sorry. But verse 12, look again at that verse. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Big picture, if you're going to tune me out, remember this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, that's what we're ultimately looking at. But before we get to that, look at the first three words of this verse. But above all. But above all, think of the context of the letter. James has been writing about various things, various convicting things, correct? And here he says, but above all. So in other words, but above everything I've just told you, but above everything in chapters 1 through 4, and every verse in chapter 5, 1 through 11, but above all of that, listen to this. Why above all that? Huh. But above all this, why is he saying that? Why is he stressing verse 12? That's a question that scholars have different opinions on. But I'm just going to keep it simple. Because this is really, really important. And we really, really struggle with this. And James knows that. Now, he doesn't know about us today, right? But he knows that in his context, in the letters, in the original audience of these letters, they struggle with this too. And he knows that if we struggle with this, and we just live with the struggle and not worrying about changing, of letting our yes be yes and our no be no, this will have ramifications for God's church, for Christ's church. Okay, so above all, above everything I just wrote to you, above everything I've just said, listen to this. Listen to what James is saying. So what is James talking about then? Let's get to the meat of the sandwich here. What is James talking about in verse 12? Swearing. Not that kind of swearing. He already talked about that in chapter 3, right? Different kind of swearing. Taking oaths. Taking oaths. And what we mean by that, we'll talk about modern oaths that we might have to take. But what he means by that is adding something to what we say to give it more weight or to make it sound like it's more true. Okay? What's the example that he gives us? By heaven and earth. That's the modern example for Paul, or for James, right then and there. Apparently, people in the church were saying, by heaven and earth, I will do this. By heaven and earth, I will do that. They're making oaths. They're swearing by heaven and earth. Maybe today we would say something else. I swear on my dead great-grandmother's grave. I know it's morbid, but people have said that, right? What are we doing? That's taking an oath. We're adding weight. These words of heaven and earth, or our great grandmother's grave, or whatever it may be. We're adding weight to what we say. We're adding something to it that is unnecessary. And the problem for James, and the problem for Jesus, as we will see in a little bit, is that's not necessary. For the follower of Christ, we should just say something and it should be truthful. We don't need to add anything for weight. Add anything to make it seem like it's more true, or it will follow through. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't swear. Don't make oaths. Just follow through on what you're going to say. Just be what? Truth tellers. Just be truth tellers. And this yes be yes, where does James get this from? Jesus, right? Matthew 5, 33 through 37. This is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is by the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes, or no, anything more than this comes from evil. So let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. So here's the thing. For all of us here, every single one of us, if we're a follower of Christ, don't swear. Don't take oaths. Don't add anything to what you will say. Just do what you will say. Be a truth teller. When you say, I'll pray for you. pray for them. When you say, I'll be there, be there. Right? When you say, Marcus came up last week. Marcus just got called out in church, right? That's great. Congratulations, Marcus. But when Marcus took these vows, right? He took these vows and we went over them. We explained it. He could take a test and ace it. He knows it, just like you guys, right?
Yeah,
I try. But when we take vows of membership or oaths of membership, we keep them. We do them. Whatever the example, when we say something, do it. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. No added words. No nonsense. Be a truth teller. Keep your word. Let your yes be yes. And here's the cool thing. The follower of Christ, we can do that. The follower of Christ can do that. We can just simply say yes or yes or no and no. And we can keep our word. Why? Because we have Christ. We don't have to lie. We don't have to deceive. We have the Holy Spirit enabling us to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We're not bound by the sin of lying, by the sin of not keeping our word. So let's keep our word. But you know what's the problem? Especially in modern society, what's the problem with keeping our word? We bow down to the God of people pleasing. And we bow down to the idol of a public opinion. So someone says to us, someone asks us to do something, and we'll just say, yes, we'll do that. And we never follow through, or we don't follow through. Why? Because we know we don't want to do it, or we know we can't do it. But we'll just tell someone, oh, yes, we'll do it. Why? Because we care what they think. We want them to be pleased with us, right? Pastors, we're sometimes bad at that. Not Frank and I. We don't care, right? We're just, you ask me to do something, I ain't doing it. Okay? Actually, we're the worst at it, probably. But we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to bow down to the idol of public opinion. We're not supposed to bow down to the idol of people pleasing. We are to bow down before God and worship Him only. So when we know for a fact that we don't want to do something or we won't do something, let us not say we will. Let us be honest. Let us keep our word. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. But we live in a world, again, of people who don't keep their word, right? And I'm not talking about politicians. That's a given. I'm talking about just the world we live in around us. How many times have I heard someone say to me, hey, Pastor, I'll see you Sunday. Or, Pastor, can't wait to visit your church on Sunday. Literally no one who has ever said that has visited the church that I'm the pastor of. I just pray they think I'm Carl from Grace or something like that. Or Jerry. They don't keep their word. And the sad thing is, what happens? I'll see them again. And they'll say the same thing to me. See you Sunday, Pastor. I'm like, no, you won't. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. The world does not live like that. We say whatever. We say whatever and we don't feel any moral obligation to keep what we say. And do what we say. If we don't keep it, we don't do it, the world does not care. I mean, and honestly, let's throw in the politicians. They'll say anything to you and to me to make us vote for them. And then they won't follow through. And guess what? They don't care. Okay? Now, you'll be mad at me for saying that. But that's the truth. But we are not to be like the world. We are to care what we say. We are to care if we keep our word or not. We are to care. Because here's the thing. If we as Christians and people know us as Christians, we don't keep our word, there's some pretty big negatives there. Right? What's the first negative? Okay, our name and our reputation will be tainted. Right? We don't keep our word. We don't let our yes be yes. Then yes, people will think lowly of us. That's not even the biggest negative. What's the biggest negative? God's name will be profaned. The Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name will be profaned if we don't keep our word. Have you ever thought about that? You're a follower of Christ. You say, hey, I'll see you then. I'll be there. And you don't show up. It's not just your reputation. It's the name of Christ that's profaned. Is that what we want for our Savior? Is that what we want for our Lord? No. What is the follower of Christ? What are we to do? The Westminster Catechism, first question. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we want. And when we don't keep our word, when our yes is not yes, and when our no is not no, we profane our Lord's name. That's horrible. And what a bad witness. That's the other negative. If people in our community or our family know that we follow Christ, and they know that we're not a man or woman of our word, do they want that religion? Do they want Jesus? Do they want to come to this church or any church? The answer, sadly, is no. Let us keep our word. And that's one thing I know. Here's some real life examples. The one of "I'll pray for you." How often do we say that? Right? People come up to me and they'll say, "Hey, I have this prayer request. You guys will do it, right? Pray for this person." And how often do I forget? Especially here. By the way, for real, don't give me a prayer request before worship. Or after worship, for that matter. Wait an hour, then email me. Because I'll forget. And I try to be so proactive in remembering. If I say I'm going to pray for you, I will pray for you. And that's what we should do as well. When I tell Kim, Kim, I'll be home in 5 minutes. I live 1 minute away, right? So I have a 4 minute, buffer there. How many times that does not happen, right? Because I fall asleep. I'm still napping. And I didn't wake up from my nap yet. But how many times will I tell Kim I'll be home in 5 minutes and then in like 30 minutes later, right? No. No. I should keep my word and say, okay, yes, not shorten the time, but I'll be home in 20 minutes. Let my word be honorable and then meet that. Dan Doriani, a great biblical scholar, said this: the family of God should be so truthful that we never need oaths or vows to verify our words. Isn't that just a great, great truth there? We should be so truthful to one another, we don't need to say, by heaven or earth. No, we just speak truthful. And here's the thing, we need God's grace in this, don't we? We need God's grace to speak truth and to keep our word. We can't just do it on ourselves. We need to cry out and ask God to help us in this. We don't need to act like we have it all together and that we don't need any help. We need to just humble ourselves and cry out to God, who loves to give His grace to us, who loves to help us become more like Him, who loves to help us fight our sin, and say, Lord, help me keep my word. Help my yes be my yes. We need to pray for mercy and grace. We need to pray for this holiness. But here's the thing, we need to show grace to others, right? Because how many times have we been the victim, right? I mean, Kim, she says she'll be home at a certain time. She never shows up. Okay, it's never me. She's a nursery. She can't hear this at all. And I'm not going to record it. I'm going to delete it. But we need to keep our word, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we're the victim. So here's the thing, we need to show grace to one another. We need to show grace to one another. Someone doesn't keep their word to us. We don't shun them. We don't hate them. We don't hurt them. We show mercy and grace to them. That's what we are called to do. I remember when we first moved here, my parents came and visited. And it was in September. It was about 3 years ago, actually. And I told my parents, I said, Mom and Dad, I'll pick you up from the airport. Save some money. You can borrow my car for a couple days. And so I said, I'll pick you up, and said, okay, be here at this time. So this is Montrose, there's no traffic, and Townsend does not count as traffic, okay? Just live in Chicago, go to Chicago once, and you'll see that. And so because of that, I left, I just gave myself 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get from here to the airport. That's plenty of time, right? Can we all agree that's plenty of time? Okay, no, of course not. It's plenty of time. So I got on Townsend, I started driving to the airport, and guess what happens? Like honest, real traffic stopped. No one's moving. You know why? The stinking homecoming parade. There's 3 days a year there's traffic. 4th of July, Christmas, the Christmas parade, and homecoming. Yeah, so I was late picking up my parents. Now, I was providentially hindered. That's what us pastors say when we want to get out of Presbytery. We're providentially hindered. I didn't keep my word, though. Right? I didn't show up on time. I didn't get there. But show grace. And don't bother coming and say, well, you should leave 15 minutes early. Just ruins the illustration. But show grace to others. Because others, honestly, will be providentially hindered, right? We'll say 5 minutes, and something comes up at work. I mean, that we can't ignore. Or something comes up on the way. There's traffic, or there's an accident. We'll say, hey, I'll pray for you. And we honestly forget. A simple mistake. So show grace to one another. Let us not become a bunch of legalists and hold each other accountable when we don't keep our word. Show grace and mercy, but strive and cry out for God to help us keep our word. Help us say yes and mean yes, or no and mean no. But James here says specifically, does he not? Oaths. Don't take oaths. Right? That's what he says in verse 12. So that honestly should beg a question from us. What about taking oaths today? Are we allowed to take oaths? And when do we take oaths? Now, the only time I could really think is Marcus, he took a vow last week. Not really an oath. We take marriage vows. I mean, we could say you're kind of just talking semantics, but it's a little different. But we do take oaths when it comes to the court of law, correct? Whether you're a defendant, a witness, or a juror. We are asked to take an oath. I pulled jury duty a year ago, the day the bear came. Remember that day? The great day you all enjoyed, and I was suffering, doing my civic duty. But we were asked to take an oath. And then we were asked, can anyone not take this oath because of religious reasoning? And one person raised their hand. Was that individual right in raising their hand and not taking an oath? Well, here's the bottom line. I believe we can take oaths in that case. In other cases, perhaps similar to it. If you read throughout the Old Testament, we see in Ezra and let's see where else, 1 Kings and Nehemiah, that oaths are taken. Okay? So it's okay to take oaths. It's not the norm. It's not the regular thing we do. But it's okay to take an oath. God is not anti-oath per se. He's anti not keeping your word. He's anti not keeping your word. So, if you pull the short straw and have jury duty anytime, feel free to take that oath. But here's the thing, and I want to be clear about this. This actually goes into with Romans 13. If our conscience doesn't want us to take an oath, then I think it's okay for you not to take an oath as well. Okay, so it's really a personal conscience thing. But I feel from Scripture that we can take oaths. But I also feel that the Westminster Confession really nails it. The Westminster Confession is just basically a summary of biblical doctrine. It's not inspired. It's not. It does not have the same authority as Scripture, but it's a wonderful book that teaches us theology and doctrine. And this is what the Westminster Confession says about taking oaths. And this is really, I think, getting to the heart of James and getting to the heart of what even Jesus was saying here. And this is chapter 22, 3, if you have one. It's actually in your hymnal, but you don't just listen to what the Westminster says. Whoever takes an oath ought to consider the weight of so solemn an act, and in it to declare nothing but what he is fully convinced is the truth. Neither may any man bind himself by oath to anything but what is good and just and what he believes to be so, and what he is able and resolved to perform. So in other words, speak truth. Speak truth. And that's what James is saying. And that's what Jesus is saying. We as Christians don't need to say, well, by John Calvin's grave, this is what I'm going to do. No, just do it. Okay? Be truth speakers. Don't add words to your truth. Just speak it and just do it. And if you don't want to do something, just say no. And let that be your truth. And the other person, guess what? Can get over it. But let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, if you're like me, you wish there was just a magic switch, right? Switch and boom. I can just speak nothing but truth and I can follow through my word all the time. It's not how it works. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, honestly, if you are like me and you struggle with this, cry out to God. Cry out. Ask God for His grace to help you with this. He will. He will. And at the same time, rejoice. You know, ask for God's grace in holiness, but then rejoice in God's grace. Think about how many times you have stumbled in this area. Think about how many times you have sinned in this area. You have said something to me or something to your spouse, And you never kept your word. That's sin. That's sin. And what does that deserve? That deserves punishment? That doesn't deserve a relationship with God? That's what it deserves. But yet rejoice in God's grace, because though you haven't kept your word and I haven't kept my word, God still sent Jesus. He loves you so much that despite your yes not being your yes, your no not being your no, He gave you Jesus to reconcile you to Him, to forgive you for those sins. And though you keep messing up in that area, and though I keep messing up in that area, He still loves us. Isn't that just amazing? Because guess what? We'll go home today. Well, maybe, hopefully we'll talk about it a little bit. Maybe we'll confess, you know, and then we'll strive today, right? Today, Hugh Jackman. From now on, right? We'll start singing that song. From now on, we'll just keep our word. And guess what? We'll fail. We'll sin. But God still loves us. Isn't that beautiful? We won't lose our salvation if we are in Christ. God won't stop forgiving us. He loves us. He forgives us. And He is our God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? So cry out. Ask God to help us. Ask God to make us more holy, to make us look more like Christ. But remember that grace and rejoice. Our God is beautiful. Our God is wonderful. He loves us and He forgives us. Now here's the thing. Do you know God's love? Do you know that forgiveness that He offers only through Jesus Christ? If you don't worry about keeping your word yet. Worry about your eternal destiny, your eternal salvation. Because apart from Christ, we are not saved. We are not forgiven. And Jesus is not our Lord. He's not our God. He's not our Savior. But when you repent of your sins and confess Christ as your Lord, then you are saved. You are forgiven. And God loves you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And that will never change. But it's only when we're in Christ. So come to Him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And Father, I just pray right now for all of us here that are in Christ. Father, we still sin. And we struggle with this sin in particular. Some, maybe not as much as others, but we still struggle here. Help us fight the sin. Help us keep our word. Help us let our yes be yes and our no be no. Clothe us in righteousness, Father. And for those of us here this morning who don't know Christ, who've never repented of their sins and have never trusted Jesus, who don't know God's love and don't know what true forgiveness is, Father, call them. Bring them to faith and repentance in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.